Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled The Christian First Aid Kit was recorded at our 2010 Fort Worth Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
You know, I've told this story many times, but it's one of my favorite. If you hadn't heard it, you need to hear it, and I like it, so I'll tell it again. But I go to Charlotte, North Carolina every year. I've done it for 20-something years, and I went, and one of my partners calls his staff in. They got about 30 employees, and he says, the clock is running. I'm paying you. You sit and listen to this man as long as he wants to talk. And I just preach the gospel to them. It's not a Christian business, and there's a lot of unbelievers there. And one year, I did that and went back, and there was about, I don't know, 10 or 15 of his employees that got born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Great things happened. And one woman came, and she was crying, and she says, I'm not a Christian like you and Chip, the owner of this business, but I know that prayer works. And she says, I want you to pray for me. And she told me she was an alcoholic. Her husband was an alcoholic. They were dirt poor. They were struggling. And this was either, I think it was her fourth marriage, and her husband had just told her he was going to divorce her. And she was so distraught over this. She says, I can't go through another divorce. And she was just crying. And she says, I tried to kill myself yesterday. And she had slit her wrist and had gone into the hospital. This was her first day back at work. And she says, that's the reason I tried to commit suicide. And she was just crying. And she says, would you please pray for my marriage? I can't go through another marriage. I can't lose another marriage. And so anyway, I just stopped this woman. I said, now let me make sure I heard this right. I said, you aren't a Christian. And you know you aren't a Christian. And she said, that's right. And I said, if you were to die right now, you would go to hell and not to heaven. And she said, yes. And I said, and you want me to pray for your marriage and not pray for your salvation? And she looked at me and she said, yes. And I said, lady, don't you realize that after you've burned in hell for 1,000 years, you won't give a rip whether that marriage worked or not. I said, who cares about your marriage? You need to get saved. And it's just like I slapped this woman. She just sobered up. She quit crying. And she says, you know, I think you're right. I need to be saved. And so I prayed with her. And this woman got born again. And then we prayed for a marriage. I'm not saying that God didn't care about her marriage. But I'm saying, what's important? But see, some people would say, but if you're going through a divorce, something's wrong with you if you just aren't totally shattered. I mean, that's justification for you being on medication and having to take sleeping aids to go to sleep and do everything else. I mean, it's just, that's all understandable. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Could you rejoice going through a divorce? Certainly. If nothing else, you ought to look at it this way and think, thank you, Jesus, that in heaven they don't marry nor are given in marriage. Amen. This is temporary. I'm not going to have to deal with this for all eternity. And you ought to be praising God for eternity. Or you could take the scriptures that the Lord will never divorce you. He's engraving you on the palms of His hand. And you ought to be saying, thank you, Jesus, that even though I'm a jerk, you would never divorce me. That you still love me. And you could praise God for that. You could find something to praise God for. You could let not your heart be troubled even if you're going through the midst of a divorce. Oh, yeah. You can find something to praise God for regardless of what's going on. Pastor Bob Nichols right here has blessed me so much because I've heard him preach on, thank God it's as good as it is. Amen. Man, Bob's been through his church being destroyed. Bob and Joy's daughter have been in a bad situation for, 12 years or more. And 24-hour nursing care, and yet Bob just praises God. One time I was holding a minister's conference, and I was talking about glorifying God from Romans 1:21. That's in that series on the Discover the Keys to Staying Full of God. And I was talking about just praising God and being thankful. And this is right in the midst of Bob was having trouble in his church. He had had trouble in his family with his daughter having these problems and just all of these things going on. And I was talking about being thankful and just praising God. And I mean, Pastor Bob I never will forget this. He just threw his Bible on the floor. He stood up and threw his Bible on the floor and he said, I've taken all of this I can take. And he says, thank you, Jesus, that things are as good as they are. And he started praising God. And I mean, revival broke out among these ministers. Because people knew that they were hurting and knew that they had problems. And here's a man that was having more problems than them, just glorifying God. And it inspired other people that they can do it. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you sold yourself short. You believe that you're only human. You aren't only human. You got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And God wants you to let not your heart be troubled. It's up to you whether your heart gets troubled. People are going to God and saying, oh God, my heart's troubled. Please solve my... He told you not to let your heart be troubled. You encourage yourself in the Lord. You do something. Most Christians are coming to the Lord, oh God, I'm powerless. God, I can't do anything. Would you please do this? And God says, I gave you all power in heaven and earth. I told you to stand up. I'm not talking about just doing it in human strength. But I'm saying when you stand and do what you can do, then God supernaturally energizes it. But you've got to take a step. Peter couldn't walk on the water by himself, but he got out of that boat by himself. He took the first step, and then the moment he stepped out, the supernatural power of God enabled him to do it. But you know what? He could have just sat in that boat praying, oh God, help me to walk on the water. But he had to get out of the boat. You got to get out of the boat before you can walk on the water. Everybody wants to walk on the water. They want the miracles, but they're afraid to leave the boat. You got to get out of the boat. You got to do something. You need to recognize that God told you not to let your heart be troubled. Well, how could I do that? The last part of that verse says, you believe in God, believe also in me. You know the simple answer? Faith. If you would believe God, you know what? You could let not your heart be troubled. You don't have to be worried about things. You can cast this over on the Lord. You can get into faith and start believing God. Let me turn this around and say it this way. That you know what? If your heart is troubled, I'm saying this in love. This is supernatural God compassion. It's because you're in unbelief. That's the truth. Oh no, you don't know what's happened. Again, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled, with no exceptions. And if your heart is troubled, I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset at you. I love you enough to tell you the truth that it's because you aren't believing God. It's because you aren't looking at things from God's perspective. You know, if nothing else, the worst the devil could do is kill you. Some people are like, well, isn't that bad? It's really not bad. We're all going to die anyway. And you get to go to be with the Lord. That's the worst thing that could happen. I mean, we sing these songs, when we all get to heaven, what a day that'll be. And then the doctor says, you're going there, and you start crying. Something's wrong with this picture. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'd rather die and go to be with the Lord, but I'm going to stay here for your sake. How do you intimidate a guy like that? Say, we're going to kill you if you don't quit preaching the gospel. You just reach up and kiss you. Oh, this is awesome, man. Today's my day. Say, all right, we'll put you in prison. And so he says, all right. And they just start praising God at midnight. Glorifying God. God goes to tapping his foot and an earthquake comes and sets them all free. And they don't leave. Because they weren't praising God just to get something. Here, this is a radical thought. They were praising God because they were actually excited about God. Amen. And when the earthquake set them free, they didn't run. They just kept praising God and saw the jailer and all of the prisoners born again and set free. And so they say, well, man, we're going to turn you loose. And he says, fine. So you know what? If you're already dead to yourself, and if you really were trusting God and had this attitude that Paul had, if the doctor tells you you're going to die, it'd be all you could do to keep from kissing the guy. And if he says, well, you're going to live, you're healed, great. I'll testify and glorify God and tell about how good God is. Man, you just can't lose for winning. If you think properly, really, Satan can't do anything to us. The worst he could do is kill us. That's no big deal. And some of you think, you're crazy. You're weird. I think you're weird. This is the attitude that the Bible says we're supposed to have. We're supposed to not count our life that big of a deal. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's faith. And if you don't have that attitude, that's the reason your heart is troubled. You know, I just got back from China, and we saw people over there that have been beaten for their faith, cattle prods, tortured, beaten. One man was in prison for 10 years, and they did unspeakable things to him. And he got out, and since he's been out in the last 20 years, they started 200,000 churches. Probably over 10 million people in his churches. Doesn't have much money, doesn't have much of anything. Nobody will ever know about him. I can't tell you his name because the government's looking for him, would love to have him. He'll never be famous. He'll never be rich by American standards, and yet he's happy and he's glorifying God because he's found out that there's something more important than all of these things. Some of you are upset because you haven't got your fifth flat screen TV yet. This guy probably doesn't even have a flat screen TV and wouldn't care if he did have one. There's something more important than that. And he doesn't get upset because he hasn't got this and he doesn't drive that. And I'm not saying God doesn't want you to have things, but I'm saying our priorities are so misplaced. We are so focused on this natural world, and if everything doesn't go exactly right and you didn't get the promotion that you wanted. These people are just thrilled that they aren't in prison being tortured, and they're thankful for that.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled The Christian First Aid Kit. This six-part series was recorded at our 2010 Fort Worth Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1070C for CD or R3213D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RSK17C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to become a part of what God is doing here in Colorado Springs. This is where we're training our Bible college students, and they are literally going around the world. I'm convinced that this is how God has ordained that we change the body of Christ, is through discipleship, and that's what we're doing. We're building a headquarters where we can have a campus with 3,000 students. And to do that, it just takes a lot of money. God has supplied us with a beautiful acreage in Woodland Park that we're calling the Sanctuary, and we're calling the people who help us accomplish this project and raise up a first-class Bible college campus, our foundation builders. I ask you to pray about it and then call and become a foundation builder today.